Thankful this morning for the blessings of each one of you and the blessing you are to my life. And I'd like to look at that this morning and how we can all grow and help each other to grow and to flourish and prosper in our Christian lives. And this morning, for a message title, I have chosen to speak on comfort and edify one another. And I'd like to look for a text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 1 to 11. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that day of the Lord. So cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. The key main verse is verse 11 here that we're going to look at today. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort and edification is so important to each one of us in our spiritual success. We need to take an interest in the spiritual success of each other. And this is, we'll look at different ways in which this can happen in church life. And there's a reason, too, where it says that we are called not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We know, as Brother Laverne brought out in the devotional, the world is getting wickeder. There's more things that are trying to distract us. The devil uses so many tactics. We need to be sober and be vigilant, like it brings out in verse 8. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Have these in the help, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. By doing this, we can find security and rest. Paul was telling the Thessalonians here that to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, they need to be sons of light and sons of the day. Like it brings out in verses 4 and verse 7. We do not need to be caught off guard when Christ returns, because we are sons of light and sons of the day. We'll be alert and ready for that day. It says we will not be caught asleep as others are. We can be looking forward to that day with anticipation, because we're living for that day. Our efforts are put into helping each other be alert and open to that, looking forward to that day. In verse 8, there's also, which is also very necessary, that we put on the armor of God. This armor of faith and believing is the armor of protection that God supplies to all believers. This armor is like hope of salvation. We can look forward to that when we have faith and love expressed to those around us and in our own lives. Then in verse 11, edifying and comforting one another. We need this faith and love in order to be able to edify and comfort one another. This kind of faith and love will see beyond the faults in others, but rather see the potential in others to bring them to a satisfying relationship with each other and with Christ. The New Testament gives us much direction on how to edify and comfort one another. I'd like to look at seven ways we can comfort and edify one another that the Scripture brings out. First one I have is found in John 13, verse 34 and 35. It says, "Love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Christ's love in our hearts is the basis and is so important and foundational to being able to edify and to comfort one another. Romans 12, verse 10 is another one. Be affectionate. Be affectionate one to one another and honor one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Kindly affection speaks of one who will do whatever it takes to nurture and to care for maybe one who is struggling, preferring them above ourselves, putting them first, you know, in all things, rather than it being about ourselves. Have a deep care and concern for the spiritual well-being of each other. This motivates and promotes a healthy relationship in each other when we do this. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, "Serve one another. For brethren, ye have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." There are many practical ways in which we can serve each other. One way is to bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Bearing one another's burdens. You know, the verse Brother Laverne read this morning is one I had written down here too. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Talks about when a brother is overtaken in a fault. Our ultimate goal with that brother is to help them in whatever way we can to restore them, so they can experience peace and fulfillment and safety within Christ's fold. Bearing burdens. Being willing to step out and shoulder some of the load with each other. You know, bearing burdens or bearing with each other is a time when we can actually get really close with each other. Christ did this for us. How much more should we do it for each other? Calls us to be lowly and meek, long-suffering, forbearing. You know, this is very real. Sometimes it's quite easy to maybe give up or feel frustrated, maybe with someone or something. We're called here to be lowly and meek. Long-suffering. I believe that's how Christ was with us. How many times have we needed help? And he has been that way to us. Merciful. If we are to help one another, these kind of attitudes will help them to see their need more quickly and help them to understand that we truly do care for them. Submit to one another. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When we submit one to another, first of all, when we submit to God and to each other, we find rest and peace. It is important when we submit in this way to edify and to comfort one another. Submission has a great part to play also in this, edification and comfort. Another one I have is be kind one to another and forgive one another. Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be an example of kindness and forgiveness as Christ was. Be quick to forgive. That is an act of love and care. Next one I have is exhort one another. Verse 13, Hebrews 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhortation to one another is to strongly encourage one another to press on. Help to strengthen and build up each other up in the faith. If we see somebody struggling with maybe a lack of faith, be there to encourage them on, press on. And that takes a close relationship too. Let's trust each other to do this, to stand by our brother or sister and to walk with them. These points are based on principle. We are members one of another. Romans 12:5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of another. We are accountable to each other in this. This is not a thing where we can just sort of step back and say, well, that's sort of his problem. It doesn't really involve me. It does involve you because you're responsible to try and help them. We all are. We're in this together, members one of another. We're all called to rally around and help where we can because we need to see that they prosper and that they reach their end goal. This verse in Romans is implying an interdependence where we need each other. This interdependence is felt and expressed most keenly in the local body of Christ, one with each other, people that we know well. It is important when we understand and know how much we need each other. We need to understand also that we cannot stand on our own. We need the help of others. It is also up to us personally to be receptive to accepting this help. To let our brothers and sisters be close to us. Don't distance ourselves from them. It is part of our life, being able to survive. Let's remember this. There's great blessing when we can do this. I had to think of how important this is, and even in our homes. What we learn in family life in our homes helps us to understand how much we have to learn and appreciate in our spiritual family, working together. You know, as father and mother work together and their relationship is, they're like one, they're close. And they teach their children from young on up that it's important that there's obedience, that there's, you know, we look out for their safety. And as they grow older and claim Christ as their Savior, you know, we care as parents to see that they're nurtured properly and that they're cared for. And so it should be. When they become old enough to be a part of the body of Christ, they have already learned or gained a grasp of how to care for their fellow brothers and sisters in church life. This morning I'd like to focus our attention upon the change, upon the charge to comfort one another and edify one another, especially in our relationships as members in the body of Christ. The first command here is that it brings out in this is to comfort each other. What all is involved in the meaning of comfort? Comfort means to call to one side, call for, summon, exhortation, consolation. The picture when we look at these meanings of comfort is someone who walks alongside of another, providing comfort, even exhortation. You know, it can be times, hard times, when somebody's going through maybe a medical issue or maybe even there's other things that they're faced with. Showing care and concern, oftentimes it's just a simple word of encouragement that goes a long ways in giving comfort, commending each other, speaking, encouraging, and upholding things to one another, positive things. Maybe your brother or sister are facing a struggle of some sort. This is when we need to be alert to those needs and walk alongside and help where we can. I know my own tendency, and I think it's a struggle maybe that is anybody can face, is we tend to sort of withdraw because we feel like it's not, maybe we make an excuse like we don't know what to say or we don't know how to approach them if there's a struggle or whatever. You don't have to have the perfect words, but just a word of encouragement or even a simple words like we're praying for you or we care about you. These go so far. They don't have to be anything big or special. Just let them know that you care and that you care about their well-being. Sources of comfort. Each member of the Godhead is a source of comfort. We have God our Father, who is the God of all comfort. It speaks and brings that out here in Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. It takes patience. God is patient toward us. Patience with each other goes a long ways. And he's called us to be like-minded in this area of life. One toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Jesus left us a perfect example in this. The Lord Jesus Christ is our source of comfort. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 and 17, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. I'm so thankful for the provisions that were made through Christ. He is gracious toward us. He has given us everlasting consolation. Christ is our comfort. It says he will strengthen and establish us in word and our work. The Holy Spirit is also another source of comfort. In Acts 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. I like the thought here of that God multiplies the lives of each believer and also multiplies the work of the church when each member does their part in edifying and comforting one another. Also, when each member is close to God and edified and comforted through the Godhead, submitting to the will of God, our Father, in all things, there is strength and security in that. The Word of God is also our source of comfort. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope." So let's spend time in God's Word. It is a source of comfort. I can say it has meant much to me in times maybe when we feel a bit of stress, maybe in a certain area or whatever we face in life. It's a blessing to be able to open the Word and to find verses that speak to us and the needs that we may be facing and bring a comfort to us. So thankful that we can have His Word. Our brethren are also a source of comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 in our text passage here, it calls us to comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We are so blessed to have so many sources of comfort available to us. Do we appreciate and value how much this means to us in our spiritual success in life? It should be very precious. It's a comfort just have the thought that in our church family that there is that many people that care about each individual. It just brings great comfort. Receiving the comfort of God, the comfort God wants us to have, we must as individuals be in a right relationship with God in order to receive this. This involves doing the Father's will in all areas of life, keeping God's commandments, being obedient to what He has called us to do. We must feed ourselves from God's Word, which is our source of much comfort. Comfort that comes from the joy and peace it gives. We must also, as members one of another, comfort one another with the comfort that we have received from God. Each of us receives comfort through our individual relationship with God. Each of us receives comfort through our relationship with one another. Brothers and sisters, your comfort, your involvement in comforting and edifying is very needful and important in church life. We need to be active members, reaching out, comforting one another whenever and wherever we can. I believe it's important that we even reach outside of even our church communities. We can be a comfort to those needy about us. And the gospel of peace that Christ offers can be shared by showing kindness and comfort to those in need or outside of even our circles. If we fail in this, we will miss out on the blessings, and our brothers and sisters will also miss out of the comfort that God offers to His people. If we fail in this, we also fail our people, because God has called us to reach out and to take the initiative to help one another. God intends that we receive comfort from two angles. Horizontally, our relationship from us to God. Vertically, through us and our relationship with one another on a local brotherhood and other fellow believers. When we keep that line of connection with God alive and connected, His love flows through. We can touch the lives of those around us and help. It's beautiful. Why should we despair, or why should we deprive ourselves of this great blessing of comfort from God and each other? As I said earlier, we only hurt ourselves or our brethren if we lack in this area. Let's consider now the charge to edify one another. The word edify means to build a house, promoting the spiritual growth and development of character of the believers by teaching by example. I'll just read that again. Promoting the spiritual growth and development of character of the believers by teaching by example. Each person is undergoing a spiritual construction project. God is always working with us, and we're always learning and growing. But we are aided by the efforts of those around us, and we can aid those around us, and it does aid us even in our walk. The importance of edification, building up one another and encouraging one another, is something we need to pursue. We do not need to be to be careful that we do not destroy the work of God in failing in this area of edification. We must be willing to bear with one another, even if it means edification. I'd like to look at Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So this is not about ourselves, but rather we are called to bear the infirmities of the weak. Please your neighbor for his good, to edification. Building each other up is an obligation that has been placed upon all believers. I think there's something wrong if we feel it is an option to us. May we need to check our life and see if our love is what it should be toward each other. If we fail in this area, we lack the desire to care. How do we accomplish the edification God intends? I believe it is done through the church, which Christ has designed to edify and build up its members. Ephesians 4, verse 16, I won't read that, but we see in that verse it is done through the working of each individual member doing his or her part. And then in verse 29 of that passage, it also brings out that it is done through kind and graceful words to one another. The key point, I believe, is this. Edification, like comfort, takes place through our involvement with one another in the local body, the church. In conclusion, I believe we could all say that there is always more room to grow in comforting and edifying one another. You know, the beauty of church life that builds and unifies the church, I believe, is done when we are actively doing this, when we care deeply about each other, and that is shown with one another. It's a peaceful setting, and it's such a blessing. Also, I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Do we ever reach the final plateau, so to speak, with gaining this? No, I believe this needs to be, it says we can increase and do more and more. There's always more we can do. There's always room to increase. May we all allow this command of God to motivate us and also examine ourselves and our relationships with our brethren and sisters with whom we work and fellowship with. This is not only for their good, but for our own safety and good also, by being open with one another. Therefore, I'd like to close at this verse. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's show that care and concern for one another and grow in His grace. May God bless.